Can you run an e-commerce business from other parts of the world? Well, we're diving in today to Ellie Moore's story about how in June she posted in my group that she just crossed the 67,000 euro mark. Dive in. We're talking all things e-commerce out of the United States. Let's go. Hey, you're listening to the Because I Can podcast, where we believe we can decide our own income, choose happiness, kick fear in the teeth, and never, ever stop. Why? Because we can. I'm your host, Allison J. Prince, and I went from being a junior high science teacher to building four online multi-million dollar businesses with four kids at my feet. Each week, I'm bringing you real conversations that have led me, as well as other experts, to step into our dream online business lifestyle so that you can get the answers you need to craft your Because I Can life as well. Take that first step and commit now to your Because I Can life by downloading your free personal bundle at becauseicanlife.com/bundle. Hey friend, welcome to the podcast today. All right. I think we should start playing a game called Where in the World is Allison Prince Today? So here's some hints. I am in Puerto Rico, but I'm not in my house. Why? Oh, the internet cord in front of our house was cut. Yeah, that's fun. There's no AC in the main part of the house. And then our bathrooms are all dug up. We have one partly functional bathroom that feels like a college dormitory right now. Oh man, I could go on with the list. We think that life is kind of putting us through a hazing phase right now as we adjust back to the Puerto Rico life. So I'm actually over at a friend's house right now recording the podcast because I'm excited to get this information to you. So anyways, life will be fine. We'll all get it. Allison just needs internet and power and milk duds. And then I'm happy, which I did bring over a bunch of milk duds in my suitcase. Now they're all melted into a clump because they see. Fun times. All right. I want to dive into something on a very, very positive note. We've got Ellie Moore coming on today's podcast. And I brought Ellie in because she lives in the UK and she's crushing her e-commerce business. I have a lot of people say, Allison, I want to do e-commerce, but I live here, 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 and here. And yeah, we live everywhere. And guess what? People still need to buy things. And so I wanted to bring her in and talk about how she is making it happen, what she's doing that's working, what she's doing that's not working, so that even if you're in the United States, you're going to find tips on what Ellie is doing and see how she's massively grown her business so quickly. And she doesn't lean into excuses. She sees them, she pushes them away and moves forward. So we're going to dive into today's podcast episode with Ellie to find out how she is rocking her online business. Let's go. One of the reasons why I wanted to bring you in is because you are in the UK and I have so many students come to me and say, I don't know if I can do this because I don't live in the United States. And you are firsthand proving that you can build a business, an e-commerce business in a different country. So will you start, just tell us how you started, why you started. And then there's so many questions that people have messaged me to ask you because they want to know all the things about what you're doing.
Well, firstly, I have major imposter syndrome, even just being here, because you have such amazing people on the podcast and I'm a bit like, oh.
You're right there with them.
So basically, we do ship to the US, but we're a completely UK-based company. So most of our custom is domestic, although we do post some orders to Europe and America. But the shipping obviously is really expensive. So there's literally nothing we can do about that. It's just the cost of shipping. So we don't do so many orders in the States. It's mostly UK based. Yeah, I found you through a podcast.
Yay!
I think I messaged you on Instagram and said, you know, I'm interested in the course, but I don't know whether it'll translate, you know, to the UK, which I'm sure other people have asked as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he got back to me really sweetly and said, You know, obviously some things aren't the same. So like the legal setup and that kind of thing, and the deal sites that you talk about, like Brad's deals and mm-hmm. Jane, and that we have none of this. Like it's completely different here. But you said the kind of marketing principles and that kind of thing will totally apply. And that's, yeah, that's completely what I've found. So I joined your, I think it was how to, you did that, how to pick your perfect product.
Uh-huh.
And this was like last autumn, and I joined that, and then, and that was brilliant. And it was great seeing you every day because,
that was a fun one. That was my very first one that I did.
Yeah. And everyone loved it, didn't they? Like everybody was like really enthusiastic, and it was great seeing you. So I joined then. So that was like last autumn. And yeah. And then it just, the sprint was amazing because I was trying to set up on a marketplace here at the time, or I just had joined. And so the stuff that you were telling us about, you know, the differences between selling on a marketplace and selling on your own shop and all the different kind of marketplaces. Obviously, although they're not the same, there's still a lot that you can kind of take from them and apply to the UK market. So, yes, I found it all really useful. And it's just kind of gone from there, really.
Okay, so what was the very first thing you sold? It wasn't like you just said, okay, I'm going to start with these beautiful tablescapes on day one. What was your very first thing that you sold?
Well, that was the first thing. I mean, I know you always say like start small, mm-hmm. And I did start small. So I just started, I was going to launch in the spring of 2020 and then obviously COVID. So then we launched on the 1st of July because I had this stuff and I was like, if I don't sell it, then, you know, it's just going to sit there gathering dust. So we launched on the 1st of July and I just did one table design, which was like 8 or 9 elements that all kind of went together on this table. And you could buy them all separately or you could buy them as a set. And that's literally just launched with that. So it's really small. And I just wanted to kind of test and see how it went. And then we sort of expanded from there. But the thing that's kind of really done well for us is selling on a marketplace here. So anyone who lives in the UK will know this is a marketplace called notonthehighstreet.com. And it's not a deal site, but we don't really have deal sites here in the same way, I don't think. But it is a marketplace that specializes in sort of showcasing small businesses. So it started off as obviously literally things that you wouldn't find on the high street, but you could find them online. And it's pretty big now. So it's like one of the kind of things that you've talked about as well is how people can find you on a big marketplace like that, you know, because obviously it's a huge, huge platform. They have literally millions of people looking at it every month. And so it's like, how do you kind of position yourself and allow people to find you? Mm-hmm. Also, it is principally a gift. Well, it always was traditionally a gift website. So they're trying to kind of branch out into like own self-purchase and stuff, which is really interesting because I'm one of the sellers on there who does kind of home decor and it's more kind of self-purchase stuff. So they're quite keen to promote me along with, you know, various other people, which is great, fine by me, but also for gifting, like we've managed to pivot, or not really pivot, but just kind of adapt quite a lot of our products for gifting. Mm-hmm. And that's been really successful for us, actually, the gifting bit, especially when the shops were shut here and nobody could buy presents in the high street. A lot of people went to this particular website. So it's really the only kind of one that does this sort of unique, like small business type thing. So it was perfect for us. And that did really well for us. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so fun. I love that you're like, okay, I'm going to take this part, the whole marketing and how to get the product out there. And I'm sorry, I thought you started with candles, some just super basic candles, but it sounds like you had a little bit more for your very first one.
Okay. Yeah, no, we didn't start with candles. We started with a tablescape, but it was literally like 6 or 7 products So like candles, candlesticks, glasses, napkins, you know, all the kind of little bits, but very, you know, contained and just one design. And then from there, like with it being able to expand it, so we've got a much bigger range. So,
how many products do you have now?
Well, a lot more than we had. And one thing that's been a really good byproduct of this, and this I think maybe you could put in your top 10 takeaways, is that in expanding the range, what I've managed to do is increase the cart value. So I feel like when people log on to a website that they're not that familiar with and there's not that many products on there, even if they're really nice products, you kind of think, it's like a small business. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that lovely? Mm-hmm. And you might buy like something, but you wouldn't necessarily get really excited about like everything that's on there in the range because it's obviously quite limited. Mm-hmm. So I thought if I, you know, use the money that I've made and put it back in and expand the range, people become, if it's to their taste, I feel like people become like a kid in a candy store and they're like, ooh, this is great, look at all this stuff, and they don't want to check out with just one thing because it's like a waste of the shipping costs, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh well, while I'm here I'll put that in as well, and ooh, God, actually maybe I'll have that because then I can get it all in there. And we do free shipping over £50 domestic. So I feel like it's certainly helped push people over that £50 mark. And I feel like our cart values have increased as the range has increased. So that's been quite interesting. I definitely like agree that you have to start small and obviously test. And I'm still totally in that testing zone. Like I still feel, you know, we're just testing all the time. We've only been going for 1 year and that's been a COVID year. So it's like, I don't even know what's going to happen. Like, I don't know what lessons I can really learn. So we're just, everything's testing all the time.
And just so you know, it never goes away. You'll really test. Yeah. Because the new products, you're like, oh, okay, does this work together? And does this work together? And then does this need to go on the top of my page or on the bottom of my page? Like, that's what's so fun about e-commerce is you're constantly testing, but you're also constantly making money by doing these tests. Like, I love how this whole concept works. Okay, so let's keep talking about it. Like, you said, okay, I'm gonna set up a business. I'm gonna try maybe to ship to the US, maybe to some European countries. You realize the shipping is, it is what it is. Like, we can't go and change the shipping. Have you ever thought about fulfillment centers in different countries to fulfill for you?
I have thought about it. We used a fulfillment center domestically for a while, but to be honest, I would just say when you're selling on a marketplace, you've got to be wary about the percentages that everybody's kind of taking their cut, aren't they? So the marketplace obviously takes their bit, which is, you know, and all of this is completely fair enough, like everybody's got to make money. But then we were using fulfillment center for our best seller, which was happening through a marketplace. So the marketplace was taking their cut and then the fulfillment center was taking their cut. And then I was like, oh, my cut's tiny. Like this, I was practically paying people to take the products off me. No. So at which point I was like, no. And I have a small business bestie who I chat to every week. She has a small business online. And I think it's so, I mean, the Facebook group is great. Like, don't get me wrong, the Facebook group is great. But if you have a friend.
For sure.
Yeah. If you have a friend who's a small business, and we leave each other voice notes on WhatsApp, which is like my favorite way of communicating. My sister finds it so annoying, but I love it because I don't have time to text. So I'm just like stream of consciousness. So we leave each other these messages once a week and we update each other on how sales have been going. And we kind of say, how's this worked for you? How's that worked for you? And we give each other bits of advice. She's been amazing to me. And she said to me, when I told her about the percentage I was making, she was like, Ellie, come on. She's like, you are not running a charity here.
So I was like, tell her, yes. Yeah, I'm so glad she told you that.
I know. She was like, profit is king. Like, sort this out. Mm-hmm. So I ditched the fulfillment center, which was tough because they were great, but I just couldn't afford it out of my margins. And then I hired somebody. And so now I have an assistant who comes in, helps me pack. She's amazing. And I'm getting back a lot more of that margin that we were losing. It wasn't sustainable. So I'm a bit wary about fulfillment centers. You know, I'm wary about getting stung. I feel like you need to be bigger to do a fulfillment center. Do you think? Well,
you basically created your own fulfillment center by hiring. I'm just so glad that you're not the one that's actually packing it. I think when you first get started, yeah, it's a great thing to learn. But I think there's so many times where I see entrepreneurs, I get stuck in shipping every single thing instead of getting out there and finding places like Not High on the Street. What is it? Not on the High Street.com or other places to help market their business. They get so stuck in the shipping and the whole process around it. Now there are some marketplaces that don't take as much, like Brad's Deals. I think their percentage is a heck of a lot less than some of the other ones out there. And so, yeah, you just have to say, okay, what are my margins? Like, you knowing your margins, Ellie, is like brilliant. You having a friend to say, why are you running a charity event? Like, give her a huge high five. Sometimes we just can't see things that are just right in front of us.
Definitely. And it's a confidence thing as well, isn't it? Because when you're new, you don't know what you're doing, quite frankly. Yeah. So you're kind of, you know, you're the whole thing is testing. You're testing everything. It's not just the products you're selling. You're testing your processes, your systems, your decisions. Everything is like, is this going to work? Is it not going to work? And the key thing is, isn't it, as you say, like, you've got to be flexible and willing to pivot, you know, and roll with the punches and just be like, right, okay, that's not working. So let's stop that and let's try this. So, I mean, it's such a learning curve. Like, gosh, learning curve doesn't even cover it, does it? It's like fly by the seat of your pants learning curve the whole time.
Sometimes I call it a professional jimmy rigger, because you're like jimmy rigging one thing and jimmy rigging another thing. Because it's yes, we can learn from other people, but every single thing is going to be so specific, especially for your business and your lifestyle and what you want to do. I have some people that are from Canada and they love using fulfillment centers in the United States. Like, it totally works for them. And so I love how you're like, oh, okay, I like this, I don't like this. And then we're going to switch it to what I like and what I like to do.
I wouldn't say like I would never do it in the future. I wouldn't say that. But I suppose I'm just a bit wary about fulfillment centers. My experience wasn't great, but, you know, that's not to say that I wouldn't try it again.
Do you feel, and maybe I'm just asking this too, because I'm seeing it happen, but we went to the store the other day to get just something basic, and it was 3 times the cost that it was last year. Mm-hmm. Prices are raising so much right now. Do you think it's hard for entrepreneurs to, like, they're looking at their prices, what they sold from a year ago, saying, oh my gosh, I've got to raise my prices. Do you feel that pressure or to keep it low? Or are you like, no, I know everything's rising right now. I've got to raise my prices. How do you feel about that?
I always feel guilty about raising my prices. I feel guilty because, I mean, I know I have to be businesslike about it. Like, we all have to be businesslike, you know, we are business people and that's what this is. But, I don't know. I feel, like a huge part of what I wanted to do was, I wanted to make the business really customer service focused. So I wanted everything about my brand to be about the customer's experience and making it a really lovely experience for them to have anything to do with our store. So from the website and the photography to any interactions they have with me or my assistant, the way it's packaged, I just want everything to be so, so nice for them. And all of our customers, bar a tiny handful, have been so nice. like so nice. And I've made all these really lovely connections with people. We've had the most amazing reviews, like all 5-star reviews. So, so nice. And that is the best thing about this whole experience, hands down, has been the customer connections. So when it comes to raising my prices, I'm like, oh, I feel so bad, you know, but I know I probably have to toughen up, you know, at some point. And yes, if prices are rising across the board and my costs are rising, then obviously we have to raise prices as well.
Okay, so I want you to go back and listen to Katie Evans and Macy's podcast. They're some of the top. They charge the most in their specific niche. And there's a reason why. It's because exactly what you said, like you want to put your customer first. And if you're out there like pitching pennies, you're not going to be able to serve them and create that amazing experience when they open up that box, because you're going to be like, oh, I can't afford the ribbon or I can't do this or this. And you're going to go chintzy on it. And your customers are going to feel like it's a total chintzy product. So I do think that that guilt, we need to turn it into, like, is this going to serve my audience? Is this going to serve my customers? Because we know not everybody's going for that low price leader, right? Like Walmart, the dollar store. I mean, they've claimed that, right? You have this beautiful experience when they open up the box. And so, yeah, I'm seeing businesses right now not raise their prices and they're really hurting. And I'm like, you have to raise your prices to stay in the game. Like, there's just no way around it, especially right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me, someone coming in, starting brand new, they live out of the United States. They maybe don't want to use the marketplaces. What are some tips that you would give new entrepreneurs thinking about jumping into this game?
I don't think there's any difference between, you know, an entrepreneur or a would-be entrepreneur starting up a business in Canada to the States or in the UK or France or Spain or Australia. Wherever we live, you know, we have an understanding of our own marketplace, you know, because we are in it as a customer. And I would say, like, obviously every country probably has some similarities with each other, but also some differences. Like, there'll be some cultural differences. Like in the UK, what I think is slightly different to the US market, and I may have this wrong because I'm not in the US, but the impression I get is that we in the UK are not so, it's not so easy to do discount deals here. I feel like if you have like 60% off something in the US, people are like, why 60% off? Yes, like, let's get it. In the UK, we're a bit more cynical and it's like 60% off. What's wrong with it? You know, that's the kind of attitudes. So in the UK, you have to kind of slightly sort of adapt. I mean, depending on where you're kind of positioning yourself in the market as well, but it's more sort of about sort of value and exclusivity and that kind of thing necessarily, rather than about discounting deals. I mean, obviously there are sort of discounty things, but we don't have those deal websites that you have, like, you know, the deal websites that you talk about, like Pick Your Plum and that kind of thing. We don't really have that here. Whatever country you are in, you know, you will have a sense of what the market is like because you are a consumer in that market. So you just apply, you know, the kind of general principles to your own consumer base and your own brand and where you want to position yourself in the market. So it's just about being applying some kind of psychology to it, I guess, rather than following a sort of cut and paste, do this, do that. I mean, there are sort of guidelines to follow, but you've got to think, you know, psychologically about your own avatar and that kind of thing, what's going to appeal to them, I guess. And that can be different in each country, but also a lot of similarities.
I love that. I love that. Anything else that you want to recommend or suggest?
Is this for your top 10 takeaways?
Well, I got a few already that I've written down.
I have some more.
I love it. Good. Keep them coming.
So, like a few sort of mindset tips that I have benefited from, but also a couple of practical things, because when I listen to these podcasts, if people only talk about mindset, I'm like, okay, that's great, but I want some practical tips. I want something I can do on my store. So just mindset stuff. Like when I started this journey, I mean, if you told me, you know, a year and a half ago that I'd be on this podcast, I would have been like, shut up. That's not going to happen. Like, I cannot believe that I'm sat here talking to you, having listened to your podcast so much and being so, like, such a massive fangirl.
Oh, you're so...
But when you're at the beginning of the journey, it's like you're standing at the bottom of Mount Everest and just thinking, I can't get up there. Like, it's just completely overwhelming. So a couple of pieces of advice that I'm pretty sure you have said, and I've also heard from other people, is when you're starting at the very, very beginning, just take small steps every day to get to your goal. Just a little, even if it's just a phone call or Google something or talk to a business friend or buy a sample or just something small every day. And then gradually that will build and build and build. And you'll look behind you and think, look how far I've come, you know, in a month. And the other thing is also, and you always say this, don't be a perfectionist about everything. Like, be happy with a C+. That's what you say, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Be happy with a C+. Because we can just completely get in our own way, can't we, by wanting it all to be amazing and perfect. And actually, when you launch your website, it's not like you've got, you know, the Carnegie Hall, you know, the Albert Hall in London, of people waiting for you to launch this website, and everyone's waiting, like, expectantly. But, you know, there's nobody waiting. You can just get it up, and then when it's up, you can tweak it. You can, like, change it, tweak it, change it, tweak it. Like, I do this all the time, and I'm sure you do too, even once you're up and running. So it doesn't all have to be perfect before you can kind of move on to the next stage. So that's just a couple of kind of mindset things that I found quite useful when I was starting out. And then practical tips, I would say when you've decided what you want to sell, pick a social media platform that you think will work best for your product, whether that's Facebook, Instagram, you know, whatever, TikTok, like YouTube, whatever. Pick your social media platform and start to grow it, grow your following before you launch, because then you've got somebody to launch to when you launch, which is a really nice feeling. Even if it's like 25 people, it's better than nothing. You know, at least you kind of have something to be like, ta-da, we've launched. So we started on Instagram. Instagram is the kind of social media platform for the business, because I just felt like it was the best fit. And so I started growing the Instagram like 5 months before we launched. And I just, because people are like, well, I don't know what to post, but I just used it as a kind of, because it's such a visual product, like tablescapes, I used it for inspiration pictures. So I would find amazing pictures of tablescapes on Pinterest or Instagram, and I would put them up and obviously tag the person in it, because, you know, you have to give people credit, of course. But it was like a sort of inspo kind of page. And then when we launched, there was like, you know, a couple of hundred followers there to launch to. So that felt quite nice. So that's like a practical tip. And I'll do one more practical tip.
Okay. I love how prepared you are for this.
I have them in my phone. Because we all love your top 10 takeaways. Like, I hate it if you only get to like 6. I'd be mortified. I'd be like, Alison only found 6 takeaways from my podcast. This is mortifying. So there have to be 10, Alison, promise me.
You'll have 10 for sure. I'm taking lots of notes over here.
So another practical tip. So this works really well. And I was quite surprised, because I just didn't think it would, but it did. So I put, so on your banner on the top of the website, where you can put like announcements and stuff, I said, if you order before midday, you can have same day dispatch, same working day dispatch. So don't dispatch on the weekends because you have to have a life, right?
Yeah.
But same working day dispatch. So order before midday. Now, we always get a flurry of orders at like 11:45. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, people only have to wait an extra day if they order after 12. It's not the end of the world. But I feel like it's that sort of, it's that incentivizing bit, isn't it? There's an urgency there.
Yes.
It's when we all go to the shops on Christmas Eve and we know that on Christmas Day the shop's going to be shut, you're like, get all the baked beans, like get everything because it's closed tomorrow, you know? So I feel like it just gives people that nudge to be like, right, you know, I need to get this ordered before 12 and then they'll dispatch it today. So that's worked really well. I mean, even if you can't do same day dispatch, you could do order before 3 for next working day dispatch, you know? Because I just think if people have that deadline, it just kind of tips them over to purchase. What do you think?
I think that is absolutely brilliant because you're not going on a discount, right? You're not saying 60% off because you know that's not what your customers are looking for. That's not your culture. So you're like, okay, how can I create urgency? And you're like, noon. Let's go with noon. So you have all these orders coming in. Ellie, that is absolutely brilliant. I love when people can find other type of urgency besides just a discount. So good. So good. Oh my gosh. You're so fun. I'm actually fangirling about you. I was writing it down because I love how you don't make excuses. You said, you know what? I'm going to start a business and okay, here are some bumps. I'm going to go this way. Oh, my margins aren't good enough. Okay. I'm going to go this way. Like you see the problems coming, but you don't let it stop there. You just have that as your direction. Okay. That's not working. Then I'm not supposed to be going this way. I just need to turn a little bit this way. Now you have this big, beautiful business, which will you tell everybody what it is, where to find you, all the good stuff.
Okay. So the website is dressfordinner.co.uk because it's obviously UK based, but you can still order and get things shipped to the States. The shipping is expensive, and I'm so sorry about that.
That's not but you.
We do have a discount code to mitigate that cost.
Woohoo!
So if you put in ICAN15 at checkout, ICAN15, that gets you 15% off, which helps a little bit with the cost. And our social media handle is at Dress for Dinner Tablescapes, which is on Instagram. And we are also on Facebook, although I don't do much on Facebook. I just repost what I've done on Instagram. So Instagram is where to find us, really.
And your Instagram feed is gorgeous. I was looking at it the other day. All the pictures. Oh, you've done such a good job.
Oh,
such a good job. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. I really feel so spoiled that I got to talk to you for these last 30-ish minutes. And then I'll wrap it up with the top 10. I may surprise you and have gotten 11 out of there.
Yes.
Awesome. Thanks, Ellie. All right. Before we dive into the top 12 takeaways today, add a few more in there. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what Ellie was talking about the 5-day sprint. So we're actually going to be doing that again. We're right before the holidays. It's coming up and people want to start selling online, but they don't know what to sell. So we will be doing the 5-day sprint to helping you find your perfect product to sell online. And then after that, we do open up something called the Marketplace Intensive and we invite people in. But we have gotten so many messages about how much people have learned in the 5-day sprint alone that they've asked me why I don't charge. And I actually did charge in the beginning, but I see the need and the explosion of what is happening in the e-commerce world. And so we decided to start doing them for free. We only open it up a couple times a year, a few times a year. And right now we're leaning into the holiday sales. So make sure you're on my email list. You can shoot me an email, support@allisonjprince.com. And we can let you know when we open that up. We are thinking it's going to be the end of September, which is creeping up on us. And I'll start announcing those dates when we begin that process. Okay, so let's dive into Ellie's top 12 takeaways today. All right, number one, start small. Yes, that's exactly where we're supposed to start. Number two, expanding your range of product can help increase order cart value. Instead of just offering one thing, what thing complements that first thing that they bought? You should be testing your products all the time. Yes, Number four, find a business bestie for accountability and feedback. Love that one. Number five, don't get stuck and try and do the shipping yourself. Find what works for your business. If you don't want to ship, guess what? You don't have to. You can go back and listen to some prior podcast episodes, or I bring Vernon in and he can probably ship for you. Or another fulfillment center. You don't have to ship on your own if you don't want to. Number six, know your margins. I almost said don't, but absolutely know your margins. Number seven, be flexible and willing to pivot. Number eight, customer connections are important. But if we're so worried about pinching pennies, it's not going to be able to help us to be able to serve. So don't pinch pennies, raise your pricing if needed. Number nine, do something small for your business each day. Number 10, don't be a perfectionist. Number 11, pick one social media platform and start growing it before you launch. And number 12, use urgency without giving a discount. I loved how time was her urgency. A discount wasn't her urgency. Time was. I thought that was beautiful, beautiful example. Anyway, I hope you loved this podcast and were able to take massive notes. I know I took oodles and oodles of notes. Ellie is fabulous. I'm so blessed to have been able to watch her journey. She leans forward into new territory and she's crushing it. Anyway, I will see you next week on the podcast. Oh my goodness, that was so much fun. Thank you for listening to this episode of Because I Can podcast. Now, I've had a lot of you reach out to me and say, Allison, what are some of the products you started with when you didn't have a lot of money? So what I decided to do is I got 16 products, some of my very first products online that got me to my first $1 million. And I have a feeling some of these products are going to absolutely shock you. So you've got to get this free downloadable PDF. Now to do that, just go to becauseicanlife.com/gift. All right. I can't wait to talk to you on the next Because I Can podcast.